Lady Mother, Senior Pastoress. Is that, oh, don't worry about whether it's biblical. Do you know what she got them doing over there? No, what does Lady Motherless Pastress have them doing? Oh, man, she got all the professional black women in town. Oh, and what does she have them doing? She got them putting men down. Right. Why are they putting men down? Because they've all been burned? You don't put all men down because you've been burned by one. What they need to do is come to a biblical church, get on their face before God, and ask for God's perspective about what biblical subject. Oh, no, she don't ask those sisters to subject to nothing but her. Beware of the so-called female pastress today that divorces her husband and starts her own church and says that the Lord is guiding her. Number one, the Lord never called her because he don't call women to preach. Number two, if the man had a backbone, he would have put her in her place. And number three, if she was a biblical woman, she would have followed him. And number four, if you don't like that, you ain't looking for Jesus. You're looking for a new hook and handle. And they out there waiting on you and your paycheck. And if you think I'm old-fashioned, this word is 2,000 years old, people. And God ain't never ordained no woman to pastor. Ever. And I know some preachers that are wrestling with that question this morning. Well, no, brother, the Lord changes. I'm looking at him. Yeah, brother. You still married? The intent, my friends. Let me give you a perfect illustration of somebody that was following hard after someone. And I don't want to lose my place here, but why don't you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to look at verse 20. 1 Kings chapter 19, and we'll look at verse 20. Elijah was the old prophet. Elijah was getting ready to die and going to heaven, and God had ordained this other young preacher called Elijah. I know it sounds alike, but it's two different words. But look at what the young preacher did. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 20. I think it's a classic illustration of following hard after someone. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please, let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" Now here's one young preacher, so determined to follow the older prophet. He said, "Brother, you have the truth. Let me go back and kiss the world goodbye and follow hard after you." My friends, if you take that as a classical illustration of how you're supposed to follow Jesus, you never get in trouble. You've got to kiss the world goodbye. You've got to say, "Brother, sister, say what? No, no, this is not what Pastor John says. God has said that I'm to lay aside all of the weight of sin that so does easily beset me, and I am to walk with patience that race that is set before me." That, my friends, is what makes you an absolute Christian. And that's what these people were. The young prophet followed the old. Are you ready to follow like that? Is your discipleship any less than that? Let's thirdly look at the distinction of the name Christian. Its calling was a mark of dishonor. 2,000 years ago, to be called a Christian was to be called something bad. Today, to be called a Christian is to be neutral. You think that through. If you were identified, Lisa, as a Christian 2,000 years ago, you were the scum of the earth. Today, they don't know what we are. We are the biggest phenomena on the planet. We claim Jesus as Lord. But when it really comes down to the nitty-gritty, absolute Christian, oh, no, man. My boss told me that I can't read my Bible on the job. Is he reading his tarot cards? Yeah. My boss told me that I can't listen to Christian music. Is he listening to Two Live Crew? My boss told me that I can't have any religious pictures. And does he have pictures of these worldly people from Hollywood on his desk or her desk? You put the artist's depiction of Jesus there, and put one note over it. Repent, you heathens. See if you become, you know, the joy of all the world. You see, my friends, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. And I'm telling you that if you do not realize that that is what the Christian life means, no, you won't become the laughing stock. See, to be a believer there was to be the laughing stock. Today, they don't laugh at us. As a matter of fact, the first thing that the world does is when they have an organization is they say, go get a preacher to bless it. Isn't that true? Go get a reverend to bless it. And usually the one that they go get is a mason, some cult leader, some Christian so-called pastor mason. And if you know anything about Freemasonry, it is devilish, idolatry. And they bring them in with their little buttons and badges and doing all that stuff. And bless, no, you didn't bless it. You just cursed the thing. That is not absolute Christianity. I had a meeting with a gentleman yesterday. And he was asking for my Christian credentials. You know what I told him? I love the Lord. I love his word. And I says, and I hate anything that smacks of evil and cultism. I said, by the way, if you got any Masons in your group, don't expect me to join it. Because I'll blast them from across the board table. I says, I'll bring a Bible study and damn not to look at it. The man said, you sound like my kind of man. I said, oh, don't worry about that, brother. I'm his kind of man. I says, I'm not the world's man. I says, they don't like me in these preacher groups. My friends, they won't like you either. When you're genuinely, absolutely Christian, you're not looking for popularity. You're looking to be different. And you're looking for an opening to go to those places to make statements like that, to look them dead in their eyes, and then to smile. Say, whoopee, feel the tension. Absolute Christianity. It's distinction, laughter. What are the names and what is the distinction that being a Christian brings in your corner? Do they say to you, ladies and you gentlemen, oh, she's a fine person. You can depend upon them. I mean, if you want them, get them because they're going to tell you just what you want to hear. Or do they say, no. They haven't learned how to play. I speak with preachers. A friend of mine called and says, Coleman, you know, we like you, but you've got to tune down a little bit. Just come down. You know what I want them to tell me? What are you talking about? Come down where? See, when you're absolutely Christian, when people tell you to come down, they're saying, play the game. Play it. Come on, man. I want to tell you, I'm scared to death. I don't know about you. I'm scared to death because I believe that the minute I start playing it, I will hear off in the distance something that sounds like a trumpet. And I'm saying, now Miles Davis is dead. It can't be him. The implication is that when you're absolutely Christian, my friend, you never compromise. Because Gabriel will come, listen, when you are in the midst of your compromise, Gabriel comes. And how embarrassed you're going to be, especially if you've been compromising your whole so-called Christian experience away. How embarrassed you're going to be when you look around and the church is gone and you just left down here for 7 more years to compromise. People get bold. Yes, my friends, there's no higher name to be addressed by during this glorious church age than Christian. And that lets you know that you're in trouble. When they say, man, get a Christian to do it in an age that's going crazy, we're in trouble. When they say, get the Christian preacher to lead it, we are in trouble. When the world is looking for a Christian to lead them, we are in trouble. Absolutely Christian, my friends, means that they won't want you in their presence. I don't know what you think happened to Paul, but they chopped his head off. They were sick to death of him. Every town he went to, they whooped him good. And I mean whoop blows on him. What do you think Christianity is today? Invite the preacher? Friends, when I go somewhere with my collar on, and when I preach somewhere with my robe on, when I go somewhere with my credentials, they all smiling until I speak for 5 minutes. And then they flinching in their chairs. And I say, praise be to God. Somebody must be saying something right here. That is what absolute Christianity brings. Now, if you don't want this, you can eject. It's very easy. You know how you eject? Stop coming to church. Stop playing games. Go on and get in one of those neutral places of worship. You know, where it's so big, you don't know nobody, don't nobody know you. But when the praise party starts, you can get up and praise party with them and fall out while I speak backwards and jump and flip. Show up every week and think you going to heaven. And Jesus is going to say, one day you were in a biblical church and I told you what I demanded and you wanted easy street. And that's what you did for 30 years. Now, why should I let you in my kingdom? I'm telling you, my friends, there's coming a day when those who knew of its true distinction and rejected it shall cry out with fear. I want you to quickly turn to Romans chapter 14 and look at verses 9 through 12. I want to show you what's going to be the result of those individuals that played off absolute Christianity. Romans chapter 14, verses 9 through 12. Look what the word of God says. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and of the living. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For you shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God. You are not getting away. He says, what you boasting about? How much money did you? Money? You didn't want to be an absolute Christian. I told you to tell a boss you saved, and that's why you couldn't go to this party. And you dressed up, and yeah, you didn't drink. You didn't, but you just sat in the background. You camouflaged me. Let me give you another one. Let me give you another. I saw you sitting in the beauty shop when all them sisters were talking that stuff, running down the vice president because he made a statement about morality. They all laughed at Quayle, and you kind of laughed under your breath. Why didn't you tell them the truth? I seen you when you were sitting down there getting your hair all dutied up, you hypocrite. I'm asking for an absolute Christian. What's your problem? Let me give you another one. Well, honey, I've just met the perfect man. Is he saved? No, he ain't saved. And then you walked away from the car. What you walk away for? Why didn't you say, you know, the Bible says we shouldn't be yoked with an unbeliever. Baby, you may be making a mistake. I think you need to pray, repent, or get your head screwed on right. No, but you didn't say that. You wanted to retain their friendship. And in eternity, they went to hell, and guess who joined them? My friends, it's going to cost you something when you are an absolute Christian. Fourth and lastly, it's obligations. In other words, what is this verse 26 obliging you to do? Unknown to those who first opted the coin of the term Christian, they did not know when they were calling these people at Antioch Christians what it obliged them to do. Do you think that these people in Antioch got an attitude? They didn't do like we do today. Somebody call you Christian and you get shamed. No, man, no, I'm a Christian. Are you happy about it? Oh, man, you know, I'm going to heaven. I hope, man. I mean, man, my fingers, man, my toes are crossed. And I hope I'm going to heaven. I just want to go to heaven when I die. Are you a Christian? I just want to go to heaven. Tell him. Jesus. Tell him. I just hope I'm going to heaven. I'm going to tell you something. I don't think, if you're thinking like that, just let me share something with you. If you're not sure whether you're going to get to heaven, I have some good news for you. No, you're not going. If you're unsure of your destiny, no, you are not going. You are not an absolute. If you're not, if this mess,